You're listening to the Culture Builders Podcast, where we share thoughts, tools, and tips for leaders to improve relationships, raise standards, and grow personally. We're all about working to do better and to be better. You can learn more at thriveonchallenge.com.
Hey, everybody. So it's Saturday, and so I try to release on Saturday just one of my articles from the week, and those are released in my weekly newsletter, which you can subscribe to at thriveonchallenge.com. But the last few articles I've been releasing have really been around leadership development. And this is kind of to coincide with the release of the Captain's Council Coach Tube course that I recently have put out there. But also because I'm really passionate about a systematic approach to leadership development. I mean, I just know that there's so many people out there spending really big money on leadership retreats or leadership curriculums where they bring kids into a classroom and try to develop, you know, impart lessons and they give them lectures or they have motivational speakers. And a few people said, well, is that bad? Is that bad for me to be doing that? No, it's not bad. It's just not really at the end of the day effective. And that's really supported by a lot of research, as well as, honestly, a lot of our own experience. Those things can have good benefits for your team. They can help to build connections. But at the end of the day, they don't really build leaders. And leaders have to be developed and built through experiential learning, through your own mentorship, through your own personal example, through giving them opportunities to actually make choices and take ownership. So I'm going to just share an article that I released in one of my weekly newsletters that I wrote a few years ago. That's actually one of my favorite articles that I've ever written. So without further ado, 3 strategies to develop a player-led program. How a sled dog team works. Sled dog teams have been around since 1000 BC, and they are still used today, not just for racing, but in the place of snowmobiles and helicopters for rescue operations. They are even able to travel for 6 to 8 hours across the roughest Arctic conditions in the Iditarod dog sled race. Typically, the sled dog team ranges from 12 to 16 dogs, each with a very specific role and sequence. Each team has 2 lead dogs, 2 swing dogs, 6 team dogs, and 2 wheel dogs. The lead dogs are critical for the function of the team as they set the pace. They keep the other dogs in sync and they take verbal direction from the musher. They are highly intelligent dogs that use their sense of smell and their sense of touch to detect danger and stay on snow-covered paths, respectively. The swing dogs are critical to the remaining team members as they help the lead dogs form a nice arc on the turns. The team dogs are the muscle with the most pulling power, and the wheel dogs are next to the sled. They are some of the heaviest dogs and can withstand the force of the starting and stopping of the sled. Sometimes dog positions are switched during the race because some dogs make better leaders in different weather and terrain conditions. What you might call the driver is actually the musher. The mushers are known for their ability to battle harsh conditions by being incredibly resourceful and handy. Sometimes having to wait out a storm, repair the sled, and even fight off wild animals. They have a reputation for building strong connections with their dogs by putting the health of their dogs first, even to go as far as feeding them before they feed themselves, and making sure each have a warm bed. So what can sled dogs teach sports teams? James Kerr in his book Legacy says, leaders create more leaders by passing on responsibility, creating ownership, accountability, than trust. A sled dog team provides many great lessons for us in sports with similarities in roles and function. Great captains operate like league dogs, out front, on the look for trouble, and keeping the team on the path. Every team has their team dogs who follow more than they lead. And on great teams, you do need a few wheel dogs, the players who show up for the everyday grind without the promise of any spotlight or playing time. Obviously, a great coach is like the musher, building strong relationships with their team and putting the team's well-being above their own. But who is leading the team? Well, when it comes to the Alaskan Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race, the biggest competition in the world, the strongest teams are often defined by their strength of the top lead dogs. Great lead dogs are product of great training and trust between them and their musher. The musher does not steer his team like many would imagine. Instead, he gives guidance and listens to his lead dogs because they have been trained to be out front, feeling and smelling, using their senses to understand the terrain and keep the team on the path. It's the responsibility of the musher to know the big picture of where they are headed, but it's the lead dogs and swing dogs that keep them on the path. If you study two of the most successful sporting teams in the world, UNC Women's Soccer and the New Zealand All Blacks Rugby Team, you will be able to see some strong similarities between them and the musher. They train their players to become leaders, and there is a transfer of responsibility over the course of a season. Empower your players to lead. Anson Dorrance, in his book Training Soccer Champions, says, in 4 years, all of our players are basically ready to coach because they not only understand the game, they have an understanding of how to verbally explain the game. Dorrance is one of the most successful coaches of all time with 22 national championships. He believes in teaching his women to understand the game, but also to coach it. He trains and equips them to get out and lead, not just to follow. As outrageous as it may seem, on a weekly basis, the New Zealand All Blacks rugby team hands over the coaching responsibilities to the players. Author James Kerr describes this process in his book Legacy. The structure of the working week epitomizes the management tool. The Sunday evening review meetings are facilitated by the coaches through significant input that comes from on-field leadership. Then, over the course of the week, you see a gradual handing over of responsibility and decision-making. By Thursday, the priorities, intensity levels, and other aspects are all owned by the players. By the time they play on Sunday, the players have taken over the asylum. I'm not just a resource, says Henry, the head coach. But why would we, as coaches, pass on leadership and responsibility? Kevin Roberts, CEO of Saatchi Saatchi, one of the world's top creative organizations, says, a team of followers is immediately on the back foot. A team of leaders steps up and finds a way to win. So here's three strategies to move from a coach-led team to a player-led team. Number one, ask great questions. Dorrance, like many other great coaches, believes in the Socratic method of teaching. Instead of standing up, lecturing the team about strategy, and telling them what to do, you can instead engage them with strong questions and instill the possibility they will be called upon to answer the question. For example, if you are a soccer coach, then instead of telling Mia or the team where she should be positioned in a certain situation, ask the team where they think she should be positioned. After you ask the question, call on Mia or one of her teammates. Now, instead of just telling Mia, you have taught Mia and the team by allowing everyone to think about the question and come up with the correct answer. Number two, let them go first. Whether it is before a game, at halftime, after a game is over, during the scouting reports, and in the film room, remember that you don't always have to be the first person to speak up. Let your team offer their thoughts and analysis. Just like the lead dogs on a sled team, they are the ones out front seeing, feeling, and smelling what is going on. Number three, let them lead. Let them run a drill, a practice, or a film session. You, like the All Blacks coach Graham Henry, are still coaching when you're acting as a resource for them to help guide the team by seeing the big picture. On the sled dog team, it is up to the lead dogs to keep the others on the path ahead. The musher is constantly talking them through every turn. A player's perspective and perception, while not always right, is incredibly important to listen and to understand. Empowering is greater than overpowering. I can't play the game for you. I've said this line before, and I know other coaches have said it as well. The truth is that not only can we not play the game for them, we shouldn't even want to. Still, I see coaches overcoaching so much that I think if they could throw on a jersey, they would. We need to accept our role and accept the truth that to be a great leader, we must give control to the people we are leading. Now, I'd love for you to check out the Captain's Council Leadership System Training Course. It's on coachtube.com. It's going to help you to implement and effectively run the Captain's Council or Leadership Council within your team, which is a powerful way not only to develop leaders, but to increase the chances that everyone in your program feels seen, feels known, and feels cared for. The training will help you with the following process. First off, it's going to help you to select captains in a very intentional way by creating and reviewing a job description, doing player nominations, and then voting and selecting. We're very, very intentional about all three of those parts of that process. Secondly, it's going to help you to empower captains from the very first meeting that you have with them. It's going to help you to create captain commitments and also to select units for each captain to lead. Lastly, it's going to help you with the system execution, how you run your weekly meeting with the Captain's Council. It's going to give you some daily opportunities for you to empower them, as well as some other ideas that coaches at all levels, all across the world, in all sports have found to be incredibly beneficial in developing a player-led culture. You can get this at coachtube.com. There's going to be a link in today's details of this episode. And also, you can use the coupon code TOC article, all caps, to save 10%.